Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Man, look at that, man. We are cranking right along. So I'm going to be starting a new series today. It's a three-part series and it's called Hidden Treasure. Somebody say hidden treasure. You know, we're going to explore the hidden things of God. We're going to go and look at some different aspects of God and some different aspects towards of people and others and how we can appropriate the treasure that God has for us and find all that he has and use it in the kingdom the right way, okay? So it all comes out of Isaiah 45, 1 through 3. Why don't you guys turn with me in your Bibles there? I'm going to read it out of the NIV because I just like the way it was worded, but, you know, every version is good. This is what the Lord says to his anointed. Say, I'm his anointed. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. How many of you guys know the enemy's tried to shut some gates in your life? All right, things that have tried to flow in your life. We're going to learn about this. I will go before you, says the Lord, and I will level the mountains. I will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. You've been in jail, no more. God's coming. He's cutting through the bars. He's leveling the mountains for you. Why? Because I will give you what? Hidden treasures. Riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you, somebody say me, by name. Okay? So here's the deal, that there are treasures of God for each and every one of you, and they're not the same. There's something for each and every one of you that God has created as treasure for you, for your life, and it's been hidden from you, for you. It's been hidden from you, for you, because if it was just treasure laying on the ground, what would happen? The world would come and they'd steal it away. So God has hidden treasures for you, and he's hidden them, but he's waiting for you to come to him and go, hey, yo, where's the treasure? See, where the Bible says that we have not because we what? We ask not. So God has hidden treasures for us, and we must go to him and have him show us where he has hidden it for us. That's treasure, that's healing, that's provision, that's all the above. You name it. What do you need? I'm here to say that God said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Think about that. It's in Christ. So there's three areas that we're going to discover on this map. The 3X marks the spot moments. And the first one is I want to show you how to embrace God in your life. Okay, so we're going to take a look at this. But how many of you guys watch the treasure hunting shows and stuff like that? I've been really like on YouTube watching these guys that they go into the springs with their mask and stuff on, and you know all the drunk people are on their inner tubes just floundering, and they drop their phones and they drop their Ray-Bans and they drop their Costas, and these guys are down there and they're just going through the springs and they're just like and they just find this clear plastic thing with an iPhone and $100 in it, and then they're like, we're going to return the iPhone. So true. But I love those, man. How many guys, what's the first real treasure hunting movie you ever remember? I was thinking back, what was it? Indiana Jones? Hold on. Yeah, that was the first one I thought of and I could remember. It was Raiders of the Lost Ark. Indiana Jones, man, he was so crazy. You know what I mean? He's over there and he's made his way into the tunnel and he's got the little, there's the bag of sand. He knows he's going to replace the head of the statue that's demonic, you know? And he's like, he puts it over and he's like, ha, I got it. And then it's like, the whole place starts falling apart and the big ball rolls and he's running through the cobwebs and they're all in his face and he gets all the way out and everything, poof, this big puff of smoke and he's holding it and then the devil is there, the enemy guy. Oh, thanks. And he takes it, right? I believe our lives are a lot like that sometimes. The enemy is always waiting, but Damien, you said the Goonies, right? How many guys remember the Goonies? Chunk! Chunk, right? You know, it's amazing what you can get with a Snickers bar, right? You just aren't yourself. You just aren't yourself. Yeah, $50 bill. So how about National Treasure? You remember that one? That was a good movie. Come on. That was a good movie. Nicolas Cage, you know, stealing the Declaration of Independence. Like, that's ever really going to happen in real life. Don't you love the movies? It's like, yeah, right, only in the movies. That's what we always say at our house. Yeah, that, he'd be dead about five times already or never going to happen, never going to happen. But, you know, they go through all these little secret things and discover all the clues, right? You know, how many guys know that the kingdom of God's like that? God is leaving clues for you in his word so that you can discover and make your way and map your way to the hidden treasure in life. And he's just waiting for you to dig. He's like, just get your shovel. Come on. How about you guys watch any of the like regular TV shows like Bering Sea Gold or The Curse of Oak Island? You know, all these things. It's always about treasure hunting. Think about it. What was it? The Librarian. Okay. Yeah, man, that's the name alone would make me watch it. You know? I'm serious. I would be like, The Librarian. Ooh. Don't want to miss that one, but no, is it good though? I mean, I don't know. I've never seen it. It gets pretty intense. Okay, so hey guys, we recommend it, you know? Oh, it's not on anymore. We can find it. It's out there somewhere. I'm going to have to go watch one now. But, you know, either way, you know, I love these movies, but why are we so intrigued by treasure hunting? You know, why are we so enamored with it? Why is it that everybody's searching for treasure? Anybody? To get rich. Yes, right? Don't we all want to get rich? Come on, everybody say yes. We all, it's like, no, I want to be broke, man. You know, I love it. It's great. You can't pay your rent. You can't, they take your car away. You can't put gas in your vehicle. No, we want to be rich, okay? Just say it. It's okay. We can all accept the fact that we have that desire to be rich. But why? Why? Think about this. Why is it that we want to be rich? You are rich, but I'm just saying, why is there this big push to try to gain wealth, to try to make money? It's because we really are looking for not wealth or money, we're looking for rest. Does that make sense? We're looking for rest. Rich equals rest. When you got money, you don't have to go out and make money. When you got money, you don't have to keep going and going and going to try to get the bills paid, right? And that's actually in Scripture. You guys want to see this? Check this out. You see, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, man. We lost something there in the garden. We literally lost our rest, the Sabbath day of rest. God put us in the garden and he said, just rest. And we would just be in there. Adam and Eve would just go and they'd gather whatever they needed and they didn't have to work. They just, you know, they'd pet the lion and hang out and ride the giraffe and just doing their stuff, eating big grapes that were this big because back then there was still the firmament hadn't fallen in the flood yet. So the fruit was like this big. You'd eat an orange. It was like, you know, take you all day. You ever seen like stuff grown in hyperbaric chambers and stuff like that? That stuff gets huge, man. That's how it was back then. So in Genesis 3, 17 and 19, let me stay on track because I'm hungry. I'm thinking about giant grapes. It says, then, you know, I only had 7 donuts. I'm ready for lunch, okay? Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. All right. That's it. You guys ready? We're going to head out now. Thanks for being here today at Lighthouse Church. Great word we've learned. No. Because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, listen to me, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you'll eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. That's the moment where God cursed the earth. And we lost our rest. Now God's like, now I got to go work. Adam's like, got to toil. He's going to have to sweat. He's going to have to do everything. And praise God, I'm going to show you that we're not under that curse anymore, okay? So everybody relax. Some of you are like, oh no, it's cursed. I'm going to have to work the rest of my life. You probably are going to have to work most of your life, but I don't want to give you any false hope. But you can actually operate in that under the anointing of God and under rest and actually see incredible things happen in that, okay? Because we lost our rest. Say, I lost my rest. Man was cursed in the earth to have to live by it, to work, and the Sabbath day of rest was gone, and we've been separated from God by our sin. We've been separated. You see, the goal of God was to have a creation he could embrace. Someone he could spend time with and hug and squeeze and call George. Right? No, hug you and kiss you and squeeze you and call you George. Right? So God wanted someone to have a relationship with, someone to embrace. And now, look at this. Because of sin, God has had to hide his face from us. Back then, God had to turn his back on creation and he had to hide his face. You're like, no, he didn't. God's not hiding his face. He had to at that point. He's not hiding his face anymore. But he had to hide his face from us because sin had created a separation. And if a holy God was to walk into your presence and you have sin in your life, guess what happens to you? You die. He's like, gosh, I don't want to wipe out my creation by hanging out with him. So he had to hide his face. It's right here in Isaiah 59:2. Let me show you. It says, but the iniquity, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God had to hide himself for your protection. He had to hide himself so that you wouldn't be destroyed by his glory and by his holiness when you were in a sinful state. It's right here in Micah 3:4 again. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time. I love it. It says at that time because he knew Jesus was going to come. He was going to set us free and we were never going to have his face hidden from us ever again. It was coming, but and up until that point, you know, he had to hide his face from them at that time because they have been evil in their deeds. So how do we get back to the place of rest? Obviously, we know that God has brought us back to the place of rest through Christ. But how do we appropriate this? This is the great treasure of God's embrace that I'm trying to teach you about today. How to regain being able to be in the face of God in your life. It's available. Not everybody's walking in it, though. Because we don't know how. The Bible says, my people perish from what? A lack of knowledge. So when we gain the knowledge of how to embrace God and how to walk right into the throne room of God and look at God face to face and embrace him and have him embrace us, there is nothing else more important in your life than that. You see, we're post-cross now. Jesus has died. He set us free. God is not hiding his face anymore from those who will receive the gift of his son. See, some of you have accepted Jesus, but you still think God's face is hidden from you. And others have not received the gift of his son, and his face, it truly is still hidden from you. But you see, the Bible says the only power of the false is its ability to hide the truth. And the enemy is trying to hide the face of God from you because he knows when you look into the face of God, you will see the glory of God, and the glory of God will come upon you like it did on Moses' face when he was in the presence of the Lord. And then the whole world's going to see that glory. They're going to see that provision, that supernatural power of God on your life, and they're going to want what you have. And the enemy is trying to hide that. He's trying to keep God's face hidden from mankind forever. But God's face isn't hidden anymore. It's there. It's waiting. It's ready. It's treasure. X is marked the spot. The cross drove the X there, and it says, there's treasure here. Get your shovel out and start digging, man, because I have got something that is going to change your world. It's called rest. Called a savior. It's called peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, Jesus brought us back. He brought us back. Now we can embrace God. We can embrace him. You know, the Bible says that you were lost, but now you're found. So why are you still acting like you're lost? Right? Let's look at this. Luke 15:10. It's the parable of the lost sheep. Have you ever heard that? So then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You know? So what's the key to this treasure? You see, it's lost. We were lost. We were hidden. We were buried in sin. And God has come and he has sought after us and he has seen that X on our life and he's dug it up. And he said, there's treasure here. There's treasure in these guys. And I'm going to dig it out and I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go find them. And he said this, no greater love have I than this. You know, I'll send my son and he'll lay down his life for what? Sheep. We're sheep. God's after us. He came and found us in Christ. See, the goal is to get in Christ in our lives. You know, we had God's Rock last night. It was great, man. Had a, you know, that's our rock and metal service that we have once a month here. And the other white meat played. Young 16-year-old kids, dude, they ran around like crazy, man. It was so fun to watch them. They're just like, Jesus, disciple, Jesus, you know. It was great. I loved every minute of it. But, you know, a few people were like, whoa, you know. you know, because we have a little bit older crowd, you know, but we need to understand that we've got, God is after their generation. It's not going to look like our generation looks. It's not going to look like we think it should look. He's going after them. He's digging up treasure in the metal world. He's digging up these young kids, and he's got five young kids on fire right now, 17 years old, wanting to preach Jesus to all their friends. And why wouldn't we embrace that? Why wouldn't we encourage that, you know, for them to go and be who God's calling them to be in their life? So it's no different from any of you. We'll embrace your gifts too. God is ready to embrace you. He's ready to pull you in and go face to face. What is it that you want to do? What am I calling you to do? But the greatest hidden treasure that we'll ever find on the face of this earth, think about this, is a relationship with the living God. It's relationship. It's plain and simple. It's you and God being restored, his face no longer being hidden from you, but you embracing him and him embracing you. You're undefeatable. When you're face to face with God and he's talking to you and you're doing life together, there's nothing that can hinder you from being who God has called you to be. See, that's how we become hidden treasure. Okay, we are now the hidden treasure. We are hidden in Christ. When God sees you, he's not seeing you. He's seeing his son. He's seeing Jesus. We've been hidden. We are hidden with him. We are no longer ourselves. We're crucified with Christ, but yet we're alive. But it's not us, but Christ lives in us. In the life that we are now living in the flesh, we're living by faith in the Son of God because he gave himself for us. You know, we are standing totally victorious in life right now because of Christ, because we have been hidden in him. And that is a treasure, to be hidden in him and to be able to walk into the throne room of God, even though I just sinned. I just did something horrible and I blew it, man. I messed up, but I can walk right into the presence of God and I can get in his lap. And when I sit on his lap, he's not going to go, "Oh gosh, you're so heavy." You know, he's going to embrace you. He's going to pull you in. He's going to say, "I love you. I'm for you. And I've made a way for you to be able to walk in here anytime in spite of yourself." In spite of yourself, because you don't deserve to be able to walk in there. But Jesus commended his love towards you that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He gave his life for you in order to give you access to the Heavenly Father and a relationship so you could be embraced and forgiven and restored. And it's just good. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, "If then you who were raised with Christ seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." It's hidden in Christ. "And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." In glory. Man, this is good today. I'm almost need a slobber rag. You know, those pastors, I'm like, dang, man, here, hold on. But when God sees us, he sees Jesus. You know, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." God forgets your sins. They're hidden too. What's the hidden treasure? The hidden treasure is my sins are hidden. They're buried. And God didn't put an X on them. He said, "You can't, I didn't quit digging them up." Some things you got to stop digging up. Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." It's crazy. God forgets our sins. They're hidden when we remember his son. I love that. You know, Jesus took care of everything at the cross. He took care of it all. There's nothing else you need to do in your life but simply accept the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. His love conquered every shortcoming you're ever going to have. You know, every sin that you've committed and every sin you're going to commit is already forgiven. What, Pastor? What are you trying to say? You know, future sins? Really? I mean, every one of your sins was a future sin when Jesus went to the cross. Right? I mean, it was like Jesus forgave your sins, past, present, future. That's just how it works. You can't have one, one snuck in. Sorry. You're done. One got by. You didn't confess that one. You know, it's finished or it's not. Jesus said, it is finished. What do we have left to do? Accept the gift of his son. It's not a license to sin, God forbid, right? We don't get to just go do whatever we want.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. Hope you're enjoying Turn the Light On. For the remainder of this message or any other messages, go to Lighthouse Christian Church at Merritt Island on YouTube. Once again, thanks for turning the light on.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.